Okay, let's talk about the new thing that God is doing. This is all in line with the vision of our church, the vision of all churches. The Bible states where there's no prophetic vision, the people are discouraged. That's my favorite version. The people cast off restraint. The people do what is right in their own eyes. So we need a vision. But because we happen to be normal people and tend to be a bit self-centered and a tiny bit egocentric, we think that this God thing is all about us. God will answer our prayers. God will meet our needs. God will give us what we want. So in line with that, when you think about the vision, you think, and it's in your notes, the vision of who we are and what God has called us to do. And then maybe the vision of the local church that we are a vital part of. And then sometimes the vision of the worldwide church, but that almost requires you travel to get a sense of that. And then the vision of the kingdom, not very often. Most of us do not have a vision of the kingdom. And then a vision of God, which seldom comes because you've got the whole thing upside down. In reality, biblically and in kingdom reality, it has to be the other way around. If you want vision, and vision is very important, you first have to have a vision of God. He's omnipotent. We talked about that last week. God is all-powerful. Then the vision of the kingdom, which is also powerful, because the kingdom is not in word only, but in power. The vision of what the church is, because the true church is empowered by the Holy Spirit. I don't believe churches that do not believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit are true churches because they cannot do what God called them to do. And then there's the vision of the local church, which should be empowered and moving in the gifts of the Spirit. And then there's the vision of who we are. We're last because we're very tiny in the sense of the big picture of the kingdom and everything God is doing. But you are supposed to be a new creature in Christ. That means you're supposed to be different than when you didn't know him. Like, totally different. Because old things have passed away. All things have become new. That's not a theory. That's biblical. Okay. I'm working with a group, as you know, of Mennonites. Old Colony Mennonites in southern Manitoba. These people want more than there is. More than they're experiencing. More than they've been told exists within the church. They're not content with what is. As a result of that, many of the young people and a lot of the families are being shunned, which means they're being told, move off the colony, sell your house, find yourself a job, because everybody's worked within the colony, and now they're not part of the colonies anymore, and there's 216 colonies in southern Manitoba. So there's a lot of people being tossed. And the only reason they're being tossed is that they want something. They want power. They want the baptism in the Holy Spirit. They want the nine gifts of the Spirit, which you have, that you take most times for granted, and which you seldom use. It's interesting. They're paying a price for it. We didn't have to pay. I didn't pay a price for mine. They're paying a price for it. So they have an expectation that there's more. I don't know if... Are you expecting more? Are you expecting God to do more than he's doing right now?
Yes.
They've reached the stage of actually vocalizing or expressing verbally, publicly, their desire and their need for more. And the communities that they're moving into, of course, look at them as totally different. You're Old Colony, you're Mennonite, you dress different, you think different. You don't even know how to do an email when you're 17. They want to experience more. They already have experienced God. They are saved. But they want more. There's not enough in what they know and what they are so far experiencing. So what they really want in southern Manitoba is life, God's life. They want power. They want to see people healed, delivered, and set free. They want to see people saved, really saved, you know, where they change. They want to impact their community, and they want to go through more than just emotions week after week. Do you ever think, feel sometimes that's what we do? We just go through the motions. So my job in southern Manitoba is simple. I'm the encourager. I see the hunger and I encourage them to go find what they need to fulfill the hunger. And they can't find it in their local churches on their colonies, so they go outside the colonies, and we're having to create churches. If you've ever driven through southern Manitoba, you'll know that on every second corner, there's a huge church. Huge church. Churches that seat thousands at a time. And these young people are having to find, and not just young people, old people as well, who are leaving the colonies, are having to start churches. Because when they go to the big off-colony Mennonite churches, there's no life. And that's what they're looking for, life. They're looking for the church that Jesus is building. They're looking for the kingdom here and now. And God the Father has given them a heart to see the fullness of everything they're supposed to have, everything he's promised them. So around the world, if you wanted to have a look at that, you'll see I've got group one, group two. Group one, there are many believers in churches who are admitting that church as they know it is not working as it should. So they're bored, they're fed up, they know they need more, and they're not sure what the more is or what the it is that they're missing. And there's a great frustration in their churches because they're desiring things to change, but they have little to no idea of what to change or how to bring change about. They're looking for more, but they don't know where to look. That's the first group. There's a second group of people who are sensing that God is moving, doing something new. They want to be a part of what he's doing. But again, they don't know where to look. They don't know where to find help. And regretfully, they join those who speak the loudest and who have the biggest ministries. So they're really drawn to the glitter and the glamour. And so therefore, they're following a lot of the people who are on television preaching heresy. But they're hungry. They just don't know where to look. Third group are the churches that have no idea of what God is doing or no idea that God is doing anything. And they have no vision for the kingdom and no vision for the church. And they built the church that man has built. They don't want to change anything because they feel safe, they feel secure, and they feel comfortable. So on purpose this week, I drove around past a lot of the churches in the town. Not a lot, maybe a dozen. And I read their boards and what they're preaching on. There's an awful lot of churches that don't know God's doing something today. They just have nice guest speakers and they say nice things about nothing because that keeps them safe, secure, and comfortable, or so they think. So their numbers are dying, but they're hanging together because they don't want change. The good news is that God is moving. He always is moving, and he's moving mightily on those who are hungry for more, like southern Manitoba. You don't have to have a clue what he's doing. You just have to have a heart that's hungry for him, and he'll find you. So Isaiah 43, in your notes. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. So there's a bunch of things in there. If you just look at it quickly, there's a proclamation. God says, I'm doing a new thing. Oh, good. Isn't it amazing how many of his people have no clue that he's doing something different, something new, moving on? The question is, will you not be aware of it? Well, some are. Very few are. Some are not. Some will be. Maybe. Some never will be. There's four groups of people. The intent is, I am doing this. Do you want to see? So it's not like God saying, can I do this? God is saying, I am doing this. Are you aware of it? And if you're not, would you like to see it? And the implication is, you have to let go of the old in order to see the new. You have to let go and grab hold and embrace the new. So there has to be a radical transformation in the way we think about God, about the kingdom, about the church, and about ourselves as believers. It's not business as usual. God every once in a while says to me, let me tell you the first time he said it. About 5 years ago, God said to me, so what business are we in? I had all the wrong answers. You know how you try to answer God and you know, no. So I said, all right, what business are we in? He said, saving souls. The second question was, how's business? And the answer was, it sucks. If God asked me that again today and said, how's business? I'd say, it sucks. Something's changing. And if we're going to go from faithful to fruitful, we need to make the change. Because it's not going to be good enough when you get to heaven and say, well, we were faithful. God gave you the baptism of the Holy Spirit to be fruitful, to be a witness. So this radical transformation in the way we see things and the way we function right now, we need to let a lot of things go so they won't hold us back. And I'm going to ask you at the end, what do you need to let go? You have to be willing to let go in faith before you can see what's around the bend. You hear me? You can't see the new till you get rid of the old. He's not going to put the new out there like it's tempting you. Well, do you like this more than what you got? Well, then give up what you got. You have to give up what you got without knowing what the new is. If you don't let go, then you don't get the new. That's obvious. So the application is, once you let go of the old and see the new, the church that Jesus is building is the new, you must then begin to change in line with what he's doing. You got to change three things. You got to change your heart. You have to have a passion for what he is passionate about. You need to find the heart of God for today, embrace the heart of God for today, and make his heart your heart. Many of us have our hearts set on all the wrong things. They may be good things, they may be nice things, they may even be biblical things. You need to have a heart of God. Secondly, you need to change your mind, get your head in gear, so you can grasp his plans and live accordingly. And then once you've done that, heart and head, then you can change what you're doing, and you can begin to do what he's called you to do and commanded you to do. Does that make sense? So if we just change, look up here, if we just change what we're doing, big deal. There'll be no difference. There'll be no change in results. You've got to change your heart and get the heart of God for today, for his people, for his kingdom, for his church. Then you change the way you think to come in line with the way his heart is working, what is on his heart. And then we change what we're doing. Otherwise, it's like your New Year's resolutions, you know. It's the end of January almost, and you've forgotten most of them and haven't done any of them. Because a New Year's resolution is trying to change you from the outside in. And God changes things from the inside out. So change the way you're thinking. So change your head, your heart first, then your head, and then your hands. That will take hard work. Because if you're not working hard at it, if you're not being aggressive, if you're being passive, you'll just fall right back into the old pattern. And most of us have. So we need to understand that God is doing a new thing. We have to let go of the old thing. We have to change our hearts, our heads, and then what we do, our hands. Here's what I really believe. God is drawing a line in heaven. No, that's wrong. God has drawn a line in heaven. On one side are the former things, the strategies, the programs, the ideas, the structures that did work, but need to be discarded. They may still work, they may not, but they're not required in the new thing God's doing. And on the other side of the line is the new thing God is doing, but you don't know what it is or how it's all going to look. Or how it's all going to function. And you can't see over there from over here. You have to cross over the line. And when you cross the line by faith, then he'll show you the new things. You get these amazing revelations. You'll have an anointing like you've never had before. You'll have new understanding. You'll walk in power. I spent 2.5 hours on Monday night till after almost 11:30 talking to a young man in his mid-30s in Moose Jaw. Contacted Daryl May, changing windows or doors, whatever he was doing. And Daryl said, you know, you need to connect with Ralph. And he finally did. He did make the connection. He wasn't pushed. So when I listen to him, he has ideas. He has wisdom in some ways. He has excitement about what God is doing. But he's all over the map, and it's all past tense. He has to walk across a line, give up a lot of things that he believes are true, which aren't, and give up a lot of old ways of doing it, including the two churches he's attending, because they're never going to cross the line. And then he would have a new understanding. So these new things, once you cross the line, are revealed to you by the prophetic word, the word of God, prophecy, but they're also revealed when you read the Bible. It is time to take off your religious glasses. Oh, you don't think you have them on. If you've been born again more than 5 years, you're reading all of the Bible through a certain set of lenses. And you need to change the lenses. Because the kingdom is here. And things have begun to change. And there's a line being drawn. And you need to start reading the Bible with new eyes. Now, I can't convince you to do that. I just know I began to do it about a year ago, and it's like the whole Bible's brand new. It's like there are things in there I never saw before, and if I did see them, I didn't understand them like I'm understanding them now. These new things are revealed through prophecy and through the written word, because you need the Holy Spirit's gifts moving, and you need the word of God established and settled and set in heaven. And the two together will bring you life. Right? Okay, John 6:63. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. If you don't cross the line, if you don't take the step of faith, you can do what you're doing and you can continue to do it. You'll see no life in your own spiritual life. You'll see no life in your prayer life. And you'll see nobody's life being transformed by the power of God. You know, look up here. I've been doing this a long time. I don't need to do this here. I do this all over the world. I teach at least 5 times a week, most weeks. Overseas, I teach 20 times a week, 3 times a day. When you're praying, you're not excited. If you're praying. Most of your prayer life doesn't have much life. When you've got a devotional life, it isn't that much life either. You may be studying and writing and getting all sorts of new understanding of the original language. That's not life. If God is stirring in your heart, that's life. When we're worshiping, we need to be experiencing life. When I'm preaching, on average in this church, 3 people fall asleep. Daryl will tell you that too. Tom will tell you that. We're not stupid. We're watching you. That's how you communicate. You watch. You look. That means you're not experiencing life. I don't know how to say it any blunter. It's not encouraging to the preachers if you're sitting there with your eyes closed while I'm thinking. No, you're not. You're sleeping. We need life. We need to begin to get excited about something like the Bible, like Jesus, like what he might do. What he wants to do. So you have 3 groups of people. Group number 1, they want more, but they have no idea of what they want or what they need. Group number 2, they sense that there's something happening and they're looking in the wrong places for it. Group number 3, they've moved past being totally ignorant that God is actually doing something more than holding to the status quo. Do you know what status quo means? It's Latin for the mess we're in. It's Latin for the mess we are in. The 4th group we're looking for is people who want to cross the line under the leadership of true apostles and prophets. This church has apostles and prophets. You want to go somewhere? We can go somewhere. If you don't, the apostles and prophets will go somewhere. Trust me. apostles and prophets, so that people can become apostolic and prophetic. What is God doing today? God is going to have a church, the one that Jesus is building, that is apostolic in nature. That means everybody off their butt, out there winning the lost. Apostolic, the word apostle means sent. So if you're apostolic, it means you're being sent. Prophetic means we're going to be supernatural. Because if you're preaching the gospel, sharing the gospel, and all you've got is words, you've done half a job. Look up Romans 15, 18, and 19 sometimes. It's half a job. Paul says, I preached with word and in deed. And then he described the deeds by miracles, signs, and wonders, by the power of the Spirit. That's kingdom stuff. That's the vision. So there's this initial revelation that God wants us to see, that he's doing something new. And I'm not talking house churches versus institutional church versus whatever. And the initial question is, do you want to see it? My question would be, is, are you willing to pay the price? Apostolic and prophetic leaders know the announcement and the question. We knew they were coming. Most of us said yes years ago, even before we knew what we were saying yes to. If you want to get involved with what God's doing, say yes. Well, I don't know what it is. That's why you say yes. If you wait until you know what he's doing and you say yes, that's not faith. Now you're walking by knowledge. Good for you. You'll also be dragging up the rear. The people who lead in the kingdom are the people who have said yes to whatever it is God hasn't asked us to do yet, because he then knows we'll do it, because we've said yes to everything. That's called lordship. Only after the leaders lead and the people follow do you then begin to sense it, see it, and seize it. Does that make sense? So the leaders, apostles and prophets, see and know what's happening. And they lead the people of God. If the people will step across the line without knowing, most times, because most churches don't get this kind of teaching, then the people, after they step across the line, just trusting the leaders know what they're doing, the people will then sense it, sense the kingdom, see what God is doing, and seize hold of it. Ongoing revelation is positional. If you're not positioned to receive, you won't. What do I mean by that? I mean that if you're just sitting there, you're not willing to move forward, you're not hungry for more, you don't position yourself to receive whatever God is doing, then you won't receive what God is doing. If you don't move forward in faith, then you fail to see what God is doing, you will fail to understand what God is doing, and you will end up being one of the enemies of what God is doing. So if you don't move forward in faith and step across the line, you get frustrated, you will have futility, you will have failure instead of a future. Does that make sense? Southern Manitoba is moving with God. And the reason it is because it's had a scattering of leaders who didn't even know they were apostles and definitely did not know they were prophets. And even now that they know they're apostles and prophets, have no clue what that really is. But they stood up and started to lead and began to hold meetings. And people began to follow them. And now, with a little help from outside, they're getting a sense of what it is they've actually grabbed hold of, because they walked across a line by faith, regardless of what it was going to cost them. And they followed leaders who didn't know much more than they did, but were leading because they sensed that there was a call of God on their life to do that. And if you don't move across the line, I don't know if this is in your notes, you'll hear the preaching and the teaching about the new thing, but it won't make sense because you're looking through the old religious lenses. Or you'll know that change is needed, even desired, because your churches are slowly dying, but you won't experience change because you haven't positioned yourself before the Lord. Or you'll hear, but you'll water down what you hear, making it compatible with what you already know and what you're comfortable with. And that's what a lot of churches are doing. And then you'll go through the motions, all the religious actions, without the passion, the fire, or the life of God. So God is looking for people who are going to move in obedience and by faith. Regardless of the personal cost. This is not new. If you back up to the 1960s, there was a tremendous move of God amongst the Mennonites. It was called Strawberry Lake. It's in Minnesota. It's still functioning. Gerald Durstein, his son, now runs it. And the Spirit of God began to move and touched tens of thousands of them. And they came out of their system and embraced what God was doing. But you see, the system is built with fail-safes so that it protects itself. All religion protects itself. And so then all the colonies of the Mennonites began to draw in and hold on to people and started to do more control, more manipulation. And then Strawberry Lake and the renewal, the revival, the charismatic thing that was happening just died out, and it's become a retreat center. Because religion will protect itself and suck you back in. Now they're doing it again because the next generation says, this is crap. We need to move forward. And they're willing to pay the cost and do it by faith. If you're not positioned to receive revelation, you will never get progressive revelation. So here's what I've said. If you're not doing what God's calling us to do, stepping across the line, moving into the place where God is doing something, even if you don't know what he's doing, that's positional revelation. You will not get progressive revelation. In other words, you won't know what God's going to do next and next and next and next and next, because you're too busy protecting what you already did and already have, which was once a great new revelation from God. But it's old now. So unless you have reached that positional place, that place of revelation, you will not get the next revelation because you can't work it out, you can't implement it. Okay? So the new thing is only revealed to those who are positioning themselves to be in the new thing. You know, the very idea that God will only do what God's ever done is ludicrous. When you think of how beautiful the universe is and it's continuing to expand, we just found another huge planet in our own little solar system. Gee, we didn't even know that was there. And it's close to home. It's only like 3 billion light years away or something. Listen, Jesus said, you've heard it said, but I say to you, what was he trying to do? Bring them out of an old revelation, which was from God, cross a line into a new revelation, maybe a new revelation of the old truth, but still a new revelation. Nothing's changed. See, we have to decide. We have to decide. Are we moving forward or aren't we? So in Luke chapter 5, he was telling them a parable. No one tears a piece of cloth from a new garment, puts it on an old garment. Otherwise, he will both tear the new, and the piece from the new will not match the old. No one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins, and it will be spilled out, and the skins will be ruined. New wine must be put into fresh wineskins. No one, after drinking old wine, wishes for new. In other words, most people don't want to change. The old wine was good enough for Jesus, good enough for us. And you don't want the new. Wineskins are really soft until they become old. Then they become really hard. That's a Kazakhstan wineskin. It used to be soft. And they used to take the top off and squeeze it, and the juice would come out. The wine would come out. It's as hard as a rock. You need a new wineskin. Most of us are like the wineskin here. Hard as a rock. Thinking old ways. Doing old things old ways. That banging will sound really good on the tape. So God is pouring out new wine. needs new wineskin. House church isn't a new wineskin. Church is church. Yeah. How we do church is the new wineskin. So new processes, new ways to minister, new forms of worship, new leadership styles, new focus, new methods to impact the lost, new ways to build the church of Jesus building. God's not going to change what he's doing to fit you, believe it or not, because God's at the top, you're at the bottom, even though when you think of vision, you think the other way around. He has a plan. He has new things. They're fixed. We're the variable. So a new piece of cloth cannot be put onto an old garment. Amen? So God's got some new cloth. We need to figure out what he's making with it. New wine needs new wineskins. New moves of God needs new things. And it plays havoc with old things unless you cross the line and you're willing to give up everything for whatever it is you don't quite know yet that God is about to do. And we're in a transition time. The church around the world, you're not special. The church around the world is in a transition time. We're going from what we know to what we don't know. So we're leaving this room and going to that room. And we're not sure what that room looks like. And Graham Cook in one of his books says, and it's hell in the hallways.
Yeah.
It's also a lot of fun. So those that don't cross the line will continue to do what they're doing, and it will look good. In fact, it will look better than what we have. It will look more prosperous than what we have, but they won't see the new. They just enjoy the old. So what's happened is, every time God moves, there's this new wave of the Spirit, and it crashes into the beach, and you have a choice. You can go on your surfboard and paddle out, wait for the next wave, or you can play in the wet sand. And then when the next wave comes in, you'll persecute it. Because it's not what God did before. It's different, so it can't be God. So new things are going to work. So we need to grab hold of whatever this new form is. It might be a hybrid of what we have. It might be so different that we won't even recognize it. And we need to let him cut down, remove anything that is not of him. Amen? Listen, if the basic model remains the same and all you have is new toys, new forms of worship, new technology, there's still no life. Dead is dead. Boring is boring. Fruitless is fruitless. Those that do cross the line, however, and it's your choice, you know, the new church, the church Jesus is building, will be relevant, authentic, powerful, accepting, healthy, real. It will be growing new disciples who are seriously born again. This new church will have life, enthusiasm, momentum, power. Because the people in the church will have life, enthusiasm, momentum, and power. Once that begins to happen, there will be a serious integrity within God's church, and people will stop looking at us like we're a bunch of hypocrites. Believing one thing, living another way. It will change. And the new church will be where sick bodies are healed, people's minds are renewed and restored, dignity is restored, hope is given through salvation. People will actually find freedom. They won't be the same year in and year out. My truth sets people free, Jesus said. It will make you miserable in the process, but it will set you free if you apply it. The new people of God will be culturally relevant because of not how they do things, but because they have life. And what the people out there are looking for isn't something that makes you look hip or cool or with it or whatever the current issue is. They're looking for life because they don't have it. They know they don't have it. What they have is an existence. So the thing that's going to make us relevant is not how we do things, it's what we have. And that's the life of God. John 1:4. In him was life. Boy, I come back to this so often, don't I? And the life was the light of men. Jesus was not the light. The life of God was the light. And he had the life of God in him. Jesus said in Matthew 5:14, you are the light. So if we have the life of God in us, we will be the light And we can release this new thing, this life in us, and the light will shine. And wow, maybe somebody will get saved and will become fruitful. Amen? So what he's doing is something totally new. The only thing that won't change is the gospel itself of the kingdom. The gospel, the message remains the same. The methods, the methodology always changes. And to see what God is doing, we need to position ourselves across the line so that we can hear and move with what God is doing. Amen? Isn't that interesting? Jesus said 2,000 years ago to his disciples in John 16, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he will reveal them to you. I don't think many new things have been explained to us recently, but I do think the time is now. So with apostolic prophetic leaders, it's almost like on your mark, get set, go. Where you go is up to your choices. You have to make some serious choices. The revelation of the new things God is doing is centered on your ability to hear God properly and receive progressive truth, truth that's progressing forward. It's determined by your willingness to carry out the truth when you hear it, because he's not going to talk to you if you hear it and don't do it. And it will challenge you to change and become something you've never thought of before. It's called the church, the people of God, us. It will put a heavy responsibility, a weighty responsibility on us, because God has a plan, but he needs us to fulfill it. Mm-hmm. And if you step across the line and receive progressive revelation, a consistent daily revelation of what he's doing, he's going to give you responsibilities that are going to be fairly challenging. It will change you. It will involve a lot of personal change. It will involve a lot of change in here. It will involve moving in power, touching people, transforming areas, communities, lives. So God is building this thing called the church. I don't think we've got the final model yet, because we've still got some glitches in it. But I think we have the prototype. With new revelation, new expectation, new challenges, new opposition, and new life. And the passive people will not be part of it. God said to me in October in Ohio, Ralph, you're much too passive. You need to become much more aggressive. God also said your aggressiveness will look like arrogance. Too bad. Are we going to be apostolic prophetic people? That's really the new line that's being drawn. And if we're going to be, then we can help fulfill the end time prophecies and the end time purposes of God. So Isaiah 43, if we go back to the beginning, says, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? You want me to show it to you? Is what he's saying. I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. And out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living waters. The rivers in the desert, spiritual desert we live in, are coming from you. Out of your innermost being will flow these rivers of living waters. So what's damming up your river? So write a couple of questions down. What forms your old wineskin? When you look at yourself, there's an old wineskin. I go around and tell you prophetically what some of them are, but I won't, because that would embarrass you. What forms your old wineskin? Teachings from 30 years ago, another church you went to before this one, your feeling of needing to be safe, secure, and comfortable. What forms this old wineskin that prevents the new wine? Tradition would be another one. Spirit of religion. Second question. Ignore them at your own peril. What do you need to let go of? What do you need to let go of? Third question. What do you need to grab hold of? Fourth question. What do you need to admit to yourself so that you face yourself with honesty? Or let me put it in a better way. What do you need to be honest with yourself about? The devil does not deceive us. We deceive ourselves badly. He doesn't need to work at that. We're doing it to ourselves.
Say that last one again, please.
Yes. What do you need to be honest with yourself about? You know, sometimes the first step in all of this is just to say you're not humble, you're rather arrogant, you're very opinionated, whatever it is that's keeping you from moving forward. You think highly of yourself, whatever. Remember last week we said one of the things that prevents the power from moving is your lack of humility. So if there's something else in there, deal with it, please. Then as a church, we're going to have to deal with those same questions. But we start with you. Last comment before you put everything away. I believe, deeply believe, my personal opinion, that all of this starts with you saying yes to God about going on a journey of self-discovery, so that you get to know who you really are, period. In Him, out of Him, with Him, without Him. Who are you? Because most of the Christians I know have become who everybody else wants them to be, or they are a chameleon, they kind of change depending on which group they're with. Who is the real you? You might be very surprised if you'll spend the next 6 months struggling with that question. You will be amazed, but surprised, at who you really are. Because until you know that, there's not much you can do about anything, including answer these four questions. So, who are you? Take away everything, you know, the fact that you're a mother, a wife, a husband, you have a ministry, you have whatever, education, take all that away. Who are you? And all that's gone. Who did God create you to be? What makes you who you are? The essence of you. Answer that question, and then these other four questions are pretty simple. I call that a journey of self-discovery. But you have to be real honest with yourself and stop deceiving and fooling yourself and deal with your issues. Good. Questions?